Round one. Fight!
This is episode 3 of Don't Be a Scrub podcast. My name is Spider Carnage, aka Verbose Mute on Xbox Live. My interviewing partner is Mutton, aka Muttonhead01 on PSN. This past fortnight there's been a lot of activity both in the local and international scene, and I thought I'd just do a quick recap. We've had SoCal Regionals, an amazing tournament that was hosted by Alex Valle in Southern California. This past weekend we had Canada Cup, where both Daigo and Margo competed, which I believe is one of Canada's biggest tournaments, if not the biggest. And there was a major announcement in the Melbourne community regarding a tournament which is being organized by Shadowloo.com. It's going to be a massive tournament for Melbourne coming up on December 11th and 12th. The tournament is going to be called Shadowloo Showdown. I believe the TEC guys, or should I say Shadowloo, are going to try to make this an annual event. They have actually invited and confirmed three of the biggest current stars, I suppose we could say, in the international Street Fighter community. I'm talking about, we have confirmed Mago, we have confirmed Mr. Murderface Tokido himself, and currently I would say probably one of the most hyped and up-and-coming players, Mr. Gamerbee, is confirmed. Now, one important aspect of this is, because the tournament is a little bit over 3 weeks away, we are currently going to be running a series of fundraising events at Chris's Clubhouse every Friday and at Deakin University every Saturday, starting from the 19th, which is the 19th of November, which is going to be this up-and-coming Friday. If you cannot personally make it to the fundraising events that are being held in Melbourne, please contact Leave or Soul either through Shadowloo.com or the Oshadoo forums. They will be more than happy to instruct you in a way that you could actually donate towards this event. So this sort of ties in nicely to the person that we're interviewing this fortnight. Of course, this person basically needs almost no introduction, once again, to the Melbourne scene, where he has been one of the key figures behind the monthly Roundbats, which we have mentioned in previous episodes. And he's definitely one of the main people who's been organizing and running both Couch Warriors and the second year Melbourne's biggest tournament, BAM. Of course, I am talking about Lockie. As always, you can find the full transcribed interview over at Mutton's blog at beingascrub.wordpress.com, and I hope you enjoyed the interview.
Alright, hi everyone. We're actually at Chris's place, not Chris's clubhouse today, of the once off, and this is going to be interview number 3 with Lockie. So, welcome.
Thanks.
Alright, let's dive right into it. So, as always, we're not bucking any trends here. How did you get into Street Fighter?
Well, I grew up in a country town, Shepparton, so I didn't have a lot of chance to play a lot growing up. Like, occasionally there would be, like, an old Street Fighter 2 cabinet, just whatever version, like Hyper Fighting, Championship Edition, whatever was there. And I played a bit of that. I played a little bit of X-Men vs. Street Fighter and stuff like that when I was a kid, but there was absolutely no scene. Like, it was almost no one even playing the game ever when I came in, so it wasn't really something that I could get into until later. It wasn't actually until I went and moved to Melbourne for uni that I started to play stuff. I met Zan at college, and he was playing Guilty Gear at the time. He'd gotten into Guilty Gear through Bartasan and Sat and Bears and those guys. And I started playing at the arcade there at Therapy at La Trobe, and they had a Third Strike cabinet. So I started playing Third Strike there, and I started playing Akuma, because I thought I liked the look of him, but I'm still shit at Akuma. I was never good with him. And eventually I changed over to Dudley, and that's when I kind of started to really like the game, and I started to get, I got a home version of it. I started inviting people around, and we started like events kind of pretty much the same as what we're doing here, but at our house that Zan and I were both living at the time, and that kind of gradually evolved into Couch Warriors. So.
Oh, okay, cool. I love the way everybody seems to preempt all my questions.
Sorry, I realise I probably covered about three questions there.
No, that's all good. So yeah, I often see you playing Third Strike at Couch Warriors. Which game do you prefer more, SS4 or 3S?
It's hard. I mean, Third Strike is such a broken game, but it's so fun. Like, I mean, I think I'll always have a soft spot for Third Strike, just because I got into it. You know, it was kind of my first relatively competitive game. I was never fantastic at it, but you know, I always really enjoyed that. It's always just kind of a shame that I got into it at the time when most people weren't playing it anymore. The scene was already kind of dying. I don't know as to what's better. I think in general I like 4 better now. Nick would hate me for saying that, but I would, if there was a scene playing Third Strike, I would still be playing Third Strike too.
And who did you use in Third Strike?
Well, yeah, most of the time I was playing Dudley. I've changed to playing Chun now, actually. I'm tier-whoring now. The reason for that is because I started playing Dudley in SF4 when it first came out. And he's such a different character. Like, on the surface, he looks the same, but all the combo starters are different. You can't use Crouching Light Punch in Third Strike because it doesn't link into anything. It's terrible. So I realized that I completely destroyed my game with, like, Third Strike Dudley, so I can't play him anymore. I just can't do it. So I switched over to Chun. So that's who I'm playing now. But I dabbled in a lot of characters. I was playing Alex for a little while. I like Necro. I like Ken. Most of the characters are fun in that game. Everyone has something cool. It's just some characters are pretty broken.
Yeah, I'm in the same way, like with DJing in ST. I play DJ in ST and then I play him in 4 and it's like, you just can't do it.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's two completely different beasts. So I suppose you answered sort of this question as well. Which game do you play more nowadays, assuming it's Super Street Fighter 4?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really practice Third Strike anymore, and that's kind of half the reason I play Chun, because like I kind of understand the basic game with her, even though I'm completely out of practice, and I can kind of scrape a few wins out just by playing simple.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So, actually, this is going to be a little bit... So you've been maining Dudley in Super Street Fighter 4?
I was. I'm thinking of changing to Cammy. I've been kind of going back and forward for a while. Like, in the month leading up to BAM, I was really kind of contemplating which character I was going to play. So I ended up playing Dudley in singles. And I think I'm still a little bit better with Dudley, despite my executions dropped off because I haven't been playing him. But I played Cammy in teams. I got completely destroyed. But I don't know. I think... If Cammy was staying the same in Arcade Edition, I would say for sure that I was switching over to Cammy. But at this point, I'm kind of only doing it in theory, I think. I mean, I enjoy Cammy, and I think she's a better character. But as to whether or not she'll be broken in Arcade Edition, I'm not sure yet. So there's a chance that I could go back to Dudley. There's a chance I could change to someone else. I'm not sure. I'm kind of in a bit of a limbo at the moment.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think of Dudley's hardest matchups, then? Or Cammy's for this match?
I mean, Dudley doesn't, on paper, have any really terrible matchups. Everything's kind of 6-4, but he doesn't have any really beneficial matchups either. Like, everything is kind of the same slugfest, but in practice, against, like, a good Guile, a good... anyone that can zone you, even like, Honda or someone, even someone that's hard to get damage in on, it's really, like, pulling teeth. Like playing online with Dudley is kind of half the reason what made me kind of half give up on him, because it's all playing this Ryu and Guile, and even DJ's a pain in the ass of a match. if you can't focus something, it just gets zoned so badly, and it's just so boring. But Cammy doesn't have quite that same problem. Mm-hmm. She's got moves that go through projectiles that actually hit and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. It seems a lot better. I mean, it just seems less. Depressing, I guess.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so you sort of touched on this a little bit, but the story of how Couch Warriors started and who was involved.
Yeah, so we were playing at uni. It was myself and Zan and a few guys who actually didn't really become part of Couch Warriors. So we started playing a bunch of Third Strike. We were playing some Guilty Gear and stuff like that. None of us were that great, but we were getting to a point where we wanted to be able to get into it, and the scene didn't really exist like it does now. I mean, it was at a time where, you know, some people were still playing.
This
was 2007, end of 2000, and Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think about the end of 2007. Mm-hmm. And at the time, some people were still playing Code Strike in the arcades. Yeah, this was way before even
SF4 announcement.
Yeah, anyone knew about SF4. Mm-hmm. Hong was around for a little while. He started running some random tournaments at Blue House. Mm-hmm. Hong is now living in Hong Kong, I believe. But he was one of the prolific Melbourne Third Strike players, as well as Akira in there, and Locke and Keith and those guys. Like, those were the guys that were actually good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we were, I got a little chance to play with them, but it wasn't much of a scene, you know. Mm-hmm. Once every few weeks you got to play, and that. So we thought, like, you know, well, we should start something, you know. Like, we, at the time, we were involved in doing some things with uni, and we thought, like, you know, we'll hire out a room, or, you know, we'll start playing. Mm-hmm. And we'll get some people to play. So we started doing something at La Trobe. We actually started we tried a La Trobe Games Club that year, and that kind of didn't really work out too well. There wasn't that many people at La Trobe that played, and the people that did play weren't very good. So, you know, we at the end of that year, we went, no, we've got to do something a little bit bigger. And so we started Couch Warriors, and we'd had a little bit of experience because we'd been running Manifest Games tournaments and stuff like that. So we kind of knew what we were doing, but we wanted to, you know, we wanted to be able to do our own thing. So we started doing our little roundout events, and, you know, some people came along. We're still doing it at La Trobe for a couple of years, but it wasn't really until Super came out, Street Fighter 4 came out, Vanilla came out, that, you know, we got an influx of players and excitement, and people started playing again. And that's kind of when we're able to do, really, the stuff that we always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of led into BAM.
What role do you see Couch Warriors playing in the Melbourne community?
Kind of our goal at the beginning is we didn't want to be a group in the scene kind of thing. We didn't want to be just some guys who run an event you could go if you kind of wanted to. We kind of wanted it to get to a point where Couch Warriors was indistinguishable from the Melbourne community. So it wasn't that we were there doing our own thing, and if people wanted to come and play, they could. It was that, you know, we wanted to do what the community wanted to do. We wanted to, you know, help the community in the basis sense, and just, you know, they want to do this, they want to play this, you know, we'll run that, we'll help out, you know. And we wanted to help the existing scenes that were there, because, you know, we've got the Smash Bros. Players, we had Third Strike players, BlazBlue players, you know, all those guys. I mean, like, we want to be able to nurture all those guys, because, yeah, and provide something that, yeah, allows them to do something that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to do.
Was it always about fighting games, or...?
It wasn't initially supposed to be really locked to that. That was what we were interested in at the time. So, yeah, actually, in the first Couch Warriors events, yeah, we had Wii Sports set up on a thing, and people played, you know, bits and pieces, and you know, just we had DDR there, and we had some things and stuff. You know, it was just whatever people were bringing along. But it just kind of we considered at some point getting in with some guys at La Trobe who were doing Halo events and stuff, but it was just kind of it just didn't kind of work out that way. But that the fighting game community were the people that we were, you know, most close with, and they were the people that wanted to keep delaying stuff, so everything else kind of tapered off. And so it was never our intention, but I don't mind the way that it's turned out.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I'm surprised at how many Smash players there are when I actually first came to the first one.
Well, yeah, there's always been... It's a very fluctuating community. Australia has always had a relatively decent Smash scene, and they were strong before we started Couch Warriors, but... Xan was involved in them with some sense. Like, I've never played Smash really to any vague extent where I've been okay at it, but Xan used to play in Melee, and that's how he knew about them, and he'd come along to an event that they'd run at Melbourne Uni before that. So that's how we kind of got involved with them. We wanted to support that scene because we knew that they had a bunch of guys, but due to their setup and their the equipment that they had and all that kind of stuff, I mean, they didn't really have any kind of central organization. Mm-hmm. Apart from a couple of guys that ran the tournaments and stuff. Yep. So I mean, it's good to nurture that, but they've always done their own thing. Like, they've always been kind of a bit of a separate community, and they come and go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did you go about gathering sponsors for BAM /Couch Warriors, and was it difficult?
We've always kind of operated with very few sponsors. It's kind of something that we've just kind of worked our way up to. We knew that, you know, as a relatively niche group early on, we weren't really going to be able to approach a lot of people with much. You know, we couldn't, you know, we'd say, you know, we've got like 80 people that turn up or whatever. But, you know, it's hard for sponsors, and especially hard for a lot of companies to be able to justify that in their budgeting and all that kind of thing. So we knew it was kind of it was going to be a matter of getting to a point where if we were big enough and we could offer it, that we would get some kind of support. So, you know, we went into the first BAM with relatively small, low kind of support. We didn't have any prizes or anything that mm-hmm. were offered from sponsors and stuff, but we had ties with THQ and stuff at the time. We'd approached some people, but, you know, there wasn't anything they could do for us at that point, but we knew that, you know, if we're successful with it, then, you know, we'd be able to get something in the next year, and that's kind of mm-hmm. what happened. You know, we kept those ties, and because of, you know, we've been able to prove that, you know, we've been able to provide this and be successful, that we've managed to get, you know, support from THQ and from Madman and from all those companies that have helped us out in that extent. Sega, you know, help us out with that kind of thing, and you know, THQ through Capcom, and, you know, it's just something that, you know, hopefully we'll get more and more of.
What's the deal with THQ and Capcom? Are they like the sister company out here?
No, THQ are the distributor for Capcom games in Australia, because Capcom doesn't have an office in Australia. So what THQ are a publisher of their own, and they own development companies, mm-hmm. but the THQ in Australia is more of a distribution office. So they have ties with Capcom because they distribute Capcom's games in Australia, but they're not directly linked as a company.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so initially for this year's BAM, there was an announcement that Marvel vs. Capcom 3 would be playable. Like, we'll get a copy of the code.
Mm.
But in the last minute, it was pulled. What happened?
It's tricky to say. I mean, a lot of what I'll say is more speculation on my part, because I wasn't kind of inside THQ to see. It's more just what I've been told. But we approached THQ through a contact that we had from doing from the TVC launch, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom launch earlier in the year, mm-hmm. About having Marvel there. And initially, I didn't really expect that we'd be able to get it. I thought, like, you know, like, then they're probably not going to be able to provide it, but, you know, I'll offer it. I actually offered it just kind of as a note at the end of the comment saying, you know, can you give us any kind of support this year? You know, I did a big write-up, and at the end I kind of went, you know, and hey, if you've got Marvel vs. Capcom 3, we'll have it. And I was really surprised. The next, like, 5 minutes later, he sent me back a reply saying, like, yeah, I mean, you know, we should be able to do that. And I'm like, wow, that's fantastic.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's not what I expected at all. So the problem was that after that, a few months went by, and I was chasing it up, I was sending emails, but we didn't really get any more details. We weren't sure, you know, it was coming up to the thing, and eventually I managed to get in contact with them, and I got passed on because the person who was in charge of Marvel for THQ had changed during that period. The problem is, the guy that I was speaking to was actually is actually one of the higher ups there, and he's very busy. He travels around a lot, so it was tricky to get in touch with him. But so this was a couple of months out from BAM, and I got in touch with a new guy, and you know, everything was still going ahead as far as we were concerned, and as far as they were concerned, they thought everything was still going ahead. But it was at that point, you know, he was just about to go over to the UK to go to Capcom's Europe office to actually speak about it and get a copy of the code and all that kind of thing. And so we kept chasing it up. I was speaking to him on a weekly basis, and eventually got to a point where, you know, he didn't have a copy of the code, but Capcom was still theoretically working with a proposal. They were going to give them something, and it just got to a point where it kind of stalemated. It was a couple of weeks out, and we still didn't have a copy, and I had a really bad feeling about what was going to happen. You know, a few weeks out, I'm like, you know, well, either it's going to be here or not, we kind of have to make a decision at this point. And it just didn't look like it was going to get through that approval process in time. I'm not sure internally what happened to cause that, whether, I wouldn't have expected it. It was always a surprise, because I would have thought, like, the way that Capcom have been showing Marvel up until this point has been only through Capcom employees and only in, you know, really sanctioned kind of situations, and they've been, you know, these kind of guys there all the time, and I was surprised that they were going to let a distributor display it. But I mean, I don't know whether it was a matter of that, or whether it was something else, but it just I guess it just didn't seem like an opportunity that needed to be rushed through, and it just didn't happen in time, unfortunately. But we've still got a good relationship with THQ, and there's still a good chance that we'll be able to do something for Marvel before it comes out or when it comes out. It just didn't happen in time for BAM, unfortunately.
So initially I thought when you said Marvel 3 was going to be out here, I thought we were going to get Seth Killian coming out here and showing us off.
Well, that would have been cool. I mean, I don't know what their plan was internally for all that to happen. All we knew really was that it was going to be there, and they were going to be able to provide some prizes, and we got some prizes in the end. We got the limited Marvel
t-shirts, yeah,
and things like that, and we got a PS3 and that kind of thing. But the game code just wasn't something I guess they could sign off on in time.
That's okay. Next time, I guess.
Yeah, it's a shame, but everyone was disappointed, but it was just the way that it rolls, unfortunately.
The truth, BAM still turned out awesome as it did anyway.
Yeah, I'm happy with the event apart from it. To be honest, it was a bit of a load off because it was kind of just crammed into the schedule on Sunday and kind of tried to make it fit, so it actually freed up a little bit of time for me. Mm-hmm. So I was happy at least with that outcome.
Okay. So what does the future hold for Couch Warriors /BAM?
It's hard to say. I mean, we've always kind of just rolled with whatever the community wanted to do. So at this point, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we did this year that is still surprising. You know, we had a successful stream. We had we had almost 300 people. If Smash had the same turnout this year than they did last year, we would have had 300 people. We got 275 at BAM in the end.
That's still pretty good for basically a country of 20 million and player size of
especially for our player base. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it's still I think it's still more than OHN gets. We're technically the largest. OHN doesn't have Smash, but they have Tekken, so it balances out to some extent. But I think we're still. I mean, I might be wrong. Someone can slap me down in the comments on this, but I have a feeling that we're biggest at this point. So I don't know. It's come a long way fast. Like it kind of slowly built up over a couple of years, and then it's really come a long way in the last couple of years. So I've got no idea really at this point whether. And it can always go in different directions with the people that are involved now. So I mean, there are more people involved than just Sam and I now. So
yeah, there was a committee for BAM.
Oh, there's always been a committee for Couch Warriors, but the way we did it with BAM this year was a little bit more diplomatic. We wanted to make sure that the people were kind of nominated for each of the games to be in charge of. I kind of did this the previous year, but I was in charge of a couple of games, so it kind of blew those lines a bit. Whereas this year, Andy was in charge of Super Street Fighter 4, and Sat was in charge of BlazBlue, etc., and all those kinds of things, and it kind of separated the core organization out from all game organization and stuff. So we kind of ended up with a committee of interested people and stuff, and I think to some extent we have that with Couch Warriors as well. It's just less official. So you know, anyone. I just want to stress that Couch Warriors is trying to really kind of support the community in whatever way possible. So I mean, if people want to take the community in different directions, it's really just a matter of kind of approaching with a good idea. That's all.
Mm-hmm. So StarCraft 2.
We'll see. No, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I don't
somehow,
think so.
I don't
think that'll work. But yeah. I don't know. It could. I'm not sure. I mean, where do you think that we could go with it? What would you suggest?
It's something. I don't know. It's a difficult question, I suppose, when you really think about it, because. See, I think as is now, I think the community itself has gotten to a point where with Vanilla coming out and fighting games coming back up, I think a lot of people are getting sort of back into it. It's never going to be as strong as it was in the 90s and with the arcade and so forth. But I think it depends. If we look at the competitive side of things, I think the scene itself needs... I think we need a little bit of work on that side of things. But from the casual perspective, Couch Warriors is really awesome because you get a lot of people who come to Couch Warriors who don't come to Chris's Clubhouse and who don't come to Deacon or any other events, both for Smash and for Super. I mean, I've seen people come out for just Vanilla or Third Strike or any other fighting games. But I think from the competitive side, I don't know. I mean, you spoke about this on also the forums as well, about maybe getting some sort of a training regime or teaching people, maybe getting people into more of the hardcore aspect of the game and the competitive side rather than just, you know, trying to do flashy combos and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I've been really happy with the way that the scene's grown in that way. Apart going from just being, you know, you go to the arcade or you go to Couch Warriors or whatever, to having these different events, like the events that you've been running at Deakin and the events that that run at Chris's Clubhouse, and even just kind of gatherings like this. I mean, it's good that the community is starting to really support itself in that way as well. It's a really good sign, and especially with the, you know, with the Box Hill arcade meetups, and you know, that's going to start coming back in December when. When Arcade Edition comes out, and we just recently spoke to the manager of Manor Bar in Melbourne, who's opened up. I haven't told anyone about this yet, so you've got somewhat of a scoop, I guess. That they're opening up either December or January this year, and we're going to look at opportunities of doing, you know, some get-togethers and some meetups and stuff there, because, you know, there'll be all the equipment's already pretty much already going to be there. It's just going to matter, you know, something that regularly that we can do. So, I mean, like, it's a pretty wide ranging community at the in terms of events and opportunities and stuff like that for people to play at the moment. So, I'm really happy with that. We've kind of been able to nurture that back to life.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good, actually. I'm really glad.
So where it goes from here, I mean, is really up to the community.
For anyone out there thinking of starting something like Couch Warriors in their own local community outside of Melbourne, for example, what tips, advice would you offer?
It's not that hard. I mean, I heard someone speaking of a similar thing on a podcast years ago, and they said, really, I mean, really all you need is like three guys. You just, you know, you need some people to play, and you need, you know, some equipment, and that's pretty much it. I mean, and that's how Zan and I started. I mean, we just started playing at home. We had a couple of guys, and we had some friends, and it kind of grew from there. So, I mean, if you're somewhere where there's not much of a community, it's really just a matter of starting to do something, and it'll kind of build on itself.
It's like a snowball effect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important really to stress that you can't force something like this. You can't force a community together. You've got to kind of provide something, and people need to latch on and go along with it themselves. Couch Warriors would have never succeeded if we just started saying, you know, look, we're running this big event, we're running all this thing, you know, you should come along and play and all this kind of stuff. It's the path of most resistance. People go, oh, I don't know if we want to do this, I don't know, who are these guys, I've never played against these guys before, they're not great and all this kind of thing. Like, it makes it tricky, and we had that problem for the first few years where, you know, we had some people coming along, but they weren't necessarily the best in the community. And those kinds of things, because there was this kind of perceived separation, and I think that's kind of normal, but you've just got to let it kind of just do your thing, and it will grow to a point where if people want to support the community, then they'll support that. And I've been really happy that, you know, we've kind of grown into something that the top players are supporting, and and we've actually become this part of the integral part of the community. Whereas, you know, I think if we tried to force that and tried to push for that situation at the beginning, it would never work.
No, so like actually, I would say that the range of players in Couch Warriors do go from top player to beginner.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's a great environment, actually, to learn in. I mean,
I think that's always been a kind of goal for us. I mean, we don't want to be the, you know, the guys pushing the pro scene or something like that. I mean, we want to support everyone, and hopefully everyone will grow together because of that.
Okay. So, I asked this on Heavy Weapons, but I think it'll be a good question for you as well. If you could change, improve one thing in the Melbourne/Australian community, what would that be? Please don't say internet.
Yeah, I my mind went to that, but I realised that's not really kind of something that we have control over. It's hard, really, because, I mean, it's so much, I think it's attitude. I think so much of it is people's attitude towards everything. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I mean, a lot of people kind of they enjoy the game and so forth, and they come along and they play, but there's no kind of no one's really pushing each other in a lot of way. And I think as a community, we would grow if we were a bit more competitive in that way. I think to some extent it's a little bit too friendly sometimes, which is fine. I mean, like, you've got to make a distinction between playing friendly games and being friends and and being friends and playing competitive games. Because you're playing casuals all the time, but people don't really learn anything. They come and they'll play a few matches. They'll win some, they'll lose some. It becomes a bit of a brawl, and no one really kind of gets anything at the end of the day. And that's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm guilty of that as well. I don't have as much time to play as I'd like to, and I'd like to play for fun as well. And I like to play casuals and do silly stuff. But for us to grow as a community, if we were to become a more respected community, then that's something that we need to focus on, is just having an attitude that, you know, this time's for casuals, but this time's for serious play, this time's for learning stuff. And I think people don't realise how fun it can be if they're playing at that top level.
Would you say that it's because we play on console a lot, so there's no money involved, so people, you know, take it a lot more relaxed?
I think that is an element of it. I think subconsciously people play more at the arcade. I mean, I know I get more nervous at the arcade playing against people at the arcade. It's just something about that atmosphere, and I think that's why when the Box Hill events were running at the same time as the Couch Warriors events were, and they will be again. I think that was seen as a more serious competition because it was on arcade and because you paid some money and stuff. And you pay money to go to Couch Warriors or whatever, but you pay it anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that's the largest part of the problem. Mm-hmm. But I think it adds to it. I mean, I was listening to one of the... I think the I Play Winner podcast recently with Marn. He was saying that... That does come into it a little bit, and someone was suggesting, you know, having a, you know, if you're playing casuals or whatever, having like a box with money next to the TV, you put some money in or whatever, and you know, suddenly this becomes a bit more serious, and you know, but now you want to learn that setup, now you know you don't want to miss that combo the next time or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it probably sounds harsh. I'm not trying to rip on people that are playing for fun. I think everyone should be playing for fun, but I think that. Yeah, there definitely is a lot of opportunity being wasted when you don't really care about the outcome of the match.
Yeah. See, the way I look at it is... Oh, actually, I suppose I'm a very competitive person, but the way I look at it is I always play to win. So, but I actually have fun when I learn something new and I get beat down.
I mean, I just played 50 matches against Akira and I think I won two. But
you want to?
At the start, before he started to work stuff out, I won a couple of matches with Dudley, and I won like maybe one match with Cammy. But it's more a matter of like, but doing that, I mean, I could focus on a lot of the down points in my game and stuff. I mean, you don't have to win to learn something and to be competitive or whatever. Like sometimes, I mean, I think losing is the best way to learn. It's just that kind of thing. I mean, if people want to get better, then they will. If they won't, they won't. But as a community, we grow if everyone gets better.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I was going to ask, so how did you actually do it, you know, at BAM? So did you have any goals, or...?
I did terribly at BAM. I won one match in every tournament that I played in, apart from teams. Mm-hmm. But that's as far as I got. The problem with being a tournament organizer and kind of my problem in general is that it cuts out a lot of time that you could be practicing, you could be playing. I literally almost didn't play in the 2 months leading up to BAM. I was spending so much time doing all the organizing and running around and stuff that I just didn't want to play at the end of the day. When I got home, I'd been dealing with Couch Warriors stuff from 9 o'clock that morning. Like even at work, I was doing it in spare time and stuff like that. That by the end of the day, I didn't want to go home and play. So I was terribly out of practice, and I kind of always am. So I mean, it probably sounds silly for me to say, you know, people should be taking things more seriously or whatever when I really don't practice that much and I really don't play that much. But it's kind of the reality of my life. I'm married. I work full time and stuff. I don't have quite as much time as some people do to play. If I had a heap of time to play, I would definitely be playing a lot more. But yeah, to answer the question, I in Super, I won one match, I lost two. I lost my two matches to Kintan. Benson. I played Benson's Honda. That's a tough match for Dudley. I don't know. He definitely outplayed me with that. I beat another Honda though. Like the guy that I played, that I beat was a Honda, but the skill level gap was pretty different. And I can't remember who else I lost to. Oh, no, I lost to Sat. Sat Zabuki. I've never played against Sat Zabuki before. It's really good, actually. He just didn't drop anything, which is just depressing to me because he doesn't even play the game. He doesn't even play it most of the time, and it's so different than any other Buki I've played against. I've played against Bong Zabuki and some other players, but I didn't play against Sat, and he just took me apart.
Did you get caught in the vortex, or...?
I think like Akira was saying before, I just pressed too many buttons. I kept thinking there were gaps, and there's gaps there when you play against people that don't know what they're doing. And that's how I don't think I've ever lost to an Ibuki online, like in random ranked matches, because they're all terrible. But playing against the good one is such a different story.
It's an eye-opening experience.
It's interesting. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's not unwinnable, but I didn't know how to play the match. In BlazBlue, I won a game. I probably shouldn't have. I started playing Valkenhayn, who's the new character who came out like 3 days before BAM. I had no idea how to play him. I'm only slightly better with him now, but I probably shouldn't have won that match, but I kind of scrubbed it out. Mm-hmm. And I probably should have won another one, but I didn't, and then I went out on it. So, but yeah, I tried to play Cammy in teams, and that was pretty terrible. And I didn't really have any kind of goal in terms of winning anything. I beat someone in Third Strike, actually, and I almost beat someone that I probably shouldn't have. But then, actually, Akira crushed me in Third Strike.
Yeah, his urine unblockables were...
Yeah, I was still kind of okay with it for like the first round, and then he realized I was shit, and then he beat me. So, I don't know. I didn't really have any goals because of that. I knew I hadn't practiced. I didn't expect to win anything. I wanted to win at least one match, though. Like, I mean, I was kind of happy with that because I knew I probably... Like, that was just base instinct. Like, I was kind of just playing that without being able to do great combos, without being able to do anything. Kind of, I just kind of played and won something, but... I should have been a lot more prepared, and I'm kind of hoping that I'll have a chance to prepare before something like OHN or something like that. And I'm hoping I'll be able to do a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you sort of touched up on my next question, but you said you were married, you have a full time job. How do you find balancing all of that along with couch warriors and everything else? Do you find that real world it does affect a lot of your Street Fighter play?
It's not so bad with Cash Warriors monthly events to some extent. Now we've gotten that to a point where they more or less run themselves. It takes a lot of my time on the day. I don't really get to play casuals on the day, but before that, I could play a bunch more. I just kind of need to push myself to play a bit more. Before BAM, it kind of destroyed me. I took on too much this year, and I was just devastated after that. I was just so mentally destroyed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean. It's tricky. There is a lot of stuff that I could be doing and I should be doing for Couch Warriors in general. And it does take a lot of that. It does take a lot of that time that you could otherwise be playing. But I mean, it's more just work and home life and that kind of thing. I mean, you get to a point where you just don't have as much time to play as you used to. I mean, you could be playing every night, but something else has to suffer because of it.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Are there any international players that you look up to, like watching, admire?
I started watching a lot of Sarko because I've been playing Cammy, and I really enjoy that. But there's quite a few American players that I enjoy watching as well. It's hard to say, but I enjoy watching Mon to some extent just because of the drama, but.
Hey, he's Dudley.
Especially
he's
when I was playing Dudley. I mean, he is a lot of the time. He does drop a lot of stuff. I mean, I think what people don't realize is that while he's got a lot of awesome techniques and he's probably definitely is the best Dudley, he's not doing anything that most people aren't really doing in terms of standard gameplay. It's just kind of working for him. I think that's the big key to playing Dudley well, is just making that like not so great stuff work for him. And I just don't have the time for it. I don't know. There's a lot of players that I enjoy watching. It's hard when you put on the spot to kind of think of everyone. But I don't know. Even just random players like even characters that I don't play, I just enjoy watching some matches. I like watching. Back when I was watching a lot of Third Strike videos, I actually really enjoyed watching the Family Fun Arcade matches and watching like Amir and Rennick Arlie. And Pyro. They're quite fun, especially with the commentary. But I don't know, they're just playing in a more fun way than the Japanese do, I think. But I don't know. I watch a lot of videos, and there are a lot of players there that are pretty awesome. To be honest, I don't like watching Daigo videos that much.
Oh yeah, how come?
It's just so depressing. He just plays so normal most of the time that it's just so solid and standard that I don't know. I like watching people do crazy shit and weird setups and stuff that I don't like. And yeah, he does some pretty awesome stuff every now and then. But to be honest, I'd much rather watch like players that necessarily aren't that good that are doing like weird setups and up and coming like American players and stuff like that doing weird shit, because I like rooting for the underdog, I guess.
I'm rooting
for the underdog. It's the same thing, like I don't watch a lot of Justin Wong matches or whatever, so I'm like, I don't want to see him beat on some guy. I want to see someone like just duke it out.
AKA the game would be sort of effect from Evo.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I like game of B matches, but yeah, I don't know. He's quickly becoming not the underdog.
Yeah. Oh well, look. I mean, if they fix Adon for Arcade Edition and it doesn't get up quicker, I think it's going to take a fair bit for this game. So he might be back down.
He doesn't have that much to begin with, though. That's the thing. It's just no one knows how to play against it. It's not like he's that broken to begin with.
No, not really.
He's just. I think he's just a character that works really well for being crazy and random and doing weird shit that no one expects.
Okay, well, that's just about gonna do it. Is there anything, any shout outs or anything, final words you'd like to say?
I guess I don't want to do a little Churro Sanchez shout outs to everyone kind of thing. I can't really do that well, but I don't know. Shout outs to the Sydney community. I know you guys had a bit of trouble this year with getting OHN up for December. I'm hoping that I might be able to make the event that you guys are running instead, but if not, I'll see you guys at OHN. Shout out to all the Melbourne guys who are starting to really support the community and get to a point. I mean, I'd like to get the community to a point where if I was to step away from it for a while, that it would still keep going strong, and the same thing with a lot of the Cash Warriors guys and that kind of thing. I think it's just a really good time for everyone. I'm glad that there are so many people that are upcoming in the community. So big props to all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
And
if you have any suggestions, feedback, or would like to say hi, you can email us at don'tbeascrubpodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a comment on the Osadu forums or Martin's blog. Until next time, stay hungry, stay salty, and thank you for listening.